All right. Welcome to Deeper Youth Conference 2019. I am excited to be here. We're going to try and challenge each other to take our faith to a deeper level. Faith works. What a wonderful theme. I pray that the Holy Spirit convicts you of something today and that you decide to take action on that conviction. I want to talk to you about the close connection between bones and muscles. I believe we can learn a lot about how faith and works are related by studying the bones and muscles that God has created. But first, I'd like for all of us to be on the same page. It's our responsibility as Christians to know God. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search them out." We are to explore and search out the things that God has hidden, and by doing so, we learn more about Him, and we're better equipped to serve Him. God has given us wonderful tools to seek Him, and one very important tool is science. Science is a tool to be used to seek God. You see, God and science are not in opposition. God created us to observe His creation, to draw conclusions based on those observations, and to guess how things work, and then put to the test those guesses. This is known as testing a hypothesis. This is science. God desires us to seek Him. We need to have the courage to go where the evidence leads us, knowing that God is there too. However, just increasing our knowledge is not the point. Do you remember what Jesus said when He was asked about the greatest command? Love God and love your neighbor, right? He was quoting Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, and also Leviticus 19, 18. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's also important to know what's going on in the next few verses in Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. We are to use every resource we have available at all times to love God and to love each other. So my goal today is to guide us in loving God with our minds that He's given us, and to encourage you to love the Lord with your bodies that He's given you as well. Here's what I'm thinking. I would like to compare our bone and muscle with faith and works. I know this is not a perfect analogy, but I think it's close. And I think for us, it's functional. I would like us to think about faith like bone and works like movement or muscular contraction. How is faith and works connected? Well, maybe we should define each of them. What is faith? Hebrews writers in chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." What about works? How would you define works? Simply, works can be defined as good deeds or actions. Thus, your actions, your movement brought about by your muscles, are an indication of what you believe, your faith. The strength of your faith, or your bone, is demonstrated by your works. Your muscles equals movement. And movement is the action or what you do. See, what you do influences your faith, and your faith influences what you do, your works. James 2:17 says, "Faith without works is dead." And this graphically illustrates the inextricable relationship of faith and movement. So the plan today is to talk about the anatomy and the physiology, how your body works. Physiology is how your body works. The anatomy and physiology of bones and muscles, and then draw spiritual implications to faith and works. Some of these connections will be more obvious than others, and some things I say may not have any direct connections. But as we go through, see what types of connections you can make and write them down. Let's talk about bones and muscle. Here's a picture of bones of the pelvis and legs. bones are highly metabolic, which means there's a lot of cellular activity going on. They're not just these static structures providing scaffolding to your body. We can't feel it, but bones are constantly changing. Think of what bones need to do. Protect and support the body. They must be strong. Let's take a look at the femur, for example. Bones are strong in multiple ways. Compression and tension. But they also need to resist other forces, like shear force. That's the force of when you're tearing a paper. That's what a shear force would look like. Torsion force, that's twisting. Compressive forces are pushing down, like your weight. Your weight pushes down. But bones need to be able to resist much more than just your weight. If they could not resist more than your weight, what do you think would happen if you're walking down the stairs? Or take running, for example. Running generates 3 to 5 times the force of your weight on your bones. So bones are very strong against compression. Tension, though, is a different force. This is the structure that must be able to hold together against forces that are trying to pull bones apart. You can imagine in your mind a structure and bending the structure in a particular direction. On one side, the side towards the bend, there's going to be these wrinkles that indicates compression. The other side is being stretched apart. That indicates tension. Bones need to be able to resist both forces well. Because if you compress one side, there's tension on the other. And bones are strong under compression. They resist tension well. In order for bones not to break under both of these forces, they aren't just made up of the right material. The orientation of these molecules need to be just right as well. Bone is made up of non-living materials, such as collagen, minerals, such as calcium and phosphorus. But bone also has living active cells placed strategically throughout the structure. These cells are constantly remodeling the bone, building bone up in one area, crushing it in the other area. Bone has 3 main parts, compact, spongy, and the medullary cavity, which is the hollow part, and that's where bone marrow is created and stored. The compact bone is a solid part. These are made up of concentric cylinders called osteons. These osteons are hollow in the middle and have fluid-filled canals. These are called lacunae. These lacunae connect the layers of osteons together, these canals. During bone formation, some cells of the bone, called osteocytes, osteo means bone, site means cell, osteocytes are encased in these canals, but they stay connected with each other by projecting long arms through the rest of the lacunae. And there's also these tiny cracks called caniculi. These two, and there's 2 other cells to be aware of, osteoclasts, osteo means bone, osteoclasts and osteoblasts. Osteoclasts are crush up bone, or they chew it up. Osteoblasts build up bone. We'll talk about these a bit more later. Okay, so how do we even go about standing or walking or running? You have to use force produced by your muscles, and that force has to be transmitted to bones. That's done via tendons. Surrounding muscles is a sheath called the epimysium. Epi means on top of, mysium is muscle. And this is directly connected and continuous with the periosteum. Peri means around, osteum means bone. Neurons in your brain send electrical signals to your muscles to contract. That contraction produces a force which is transmitted directly through your tendon, epimysium, paramysium. Periosteum, to the bone, causing it to be pulled in that direction. But you have many muscles attached to each bone. They're all pulling in different directions. Due to where the muscle attaches to the bone, the amount of force required to move that part of the body is huge. It's many times the force it takes to lift the object. And then we can demonstrate this actually fairly easily. Here I've created an arm. The hinge is your elbow. And the string right here is muscle. Everyone hold up your arm to your side so that your elbow is at a 90 degree angle and your palm up like this. Do you see where your bicep is attached? Feel down your bicep to your arm right next to your elbow. What do you think? Is it going to be hard or easy to lift a chain? See, when you contract a bicep, the force that's transmitted to your bones next to the elbow, it's like closing a door by the hinges, and it takes many times the weight of the object. if bones are not strong enough to resist the huge force of the muscles, they'll break. You're starting to see how close the connection is between muscles and bones. It is the bones that provide the foundation for the muscles to contract against so we can move. Without bones, we'll have no movement. Without muscles, we'd have no movement. Movement is possible because of the relationship between bone and muscle. But why is movement important? It's a great question if you haven't thought about it. Simply put, movement shapes us. The intricate connection between bone and muscles begins very early on in life. As we are being formed in the womb, bone and muscle come from the same cell line. They have the same parent cells. And because of that, they form together. But I find to be amazing that scientists have observed movement of the muscles very early in pregnancy, about 7 weeks after conception. They've concluded that this muscular action actually directs appropriate development of bones. Without muscular movement, bones will develop, but not in the right shape. Did you catch that? Did you catch the role that movement plays in skeletal development? Skeletal muscular action directs development of bones in their appropriate shape. Even in the womb, movement is shaping us. Movement matters. As we grow up, bone development continues to be largely influenced by muscular contraction. When the force of the muscular contraction is placed on the bone slightly deforms, which squeezes fluid in the small channels, remember the lacunae and canaliculi. That shift in fluid places a stress on the osteocytes. These are the ones encased by the compact bone. The osteocytes are then able to sense that fluid stress and signal the osteoblast to build more bone, and also communicate to the osteoclasts to slow down their bone destruction, or their bone crushing. This is called resorption. So our bones are changing shape, and they're changing their structure because of muscular contraction. Instead of weakening with compression and tension, like a nail being bent back and forth, bones are strengthened. As long as, of course, an appropriate force is applied. Too much force will break a bone, obviously. And it's similar to how trees respond to compression. Take a look at how the force of this rope, the compressive force of this rope on this tree, stimulated tree growth, muscular contraction, movement. This force placed on bones stimulates bone growth. Something else happens when muscles contract. Muscles release chemical messengers. These are called myokines. Myo means muscle. Kines, a cell messenger, a chemical messenger. Myokines. And many of these myokines are specifically designed to signal the bone to grow. Muscles specifically and directly communicate to bones to tell them to grow. This is a new discovery. This research was published in 2003, and before then, scientists didn't know that muscles communicated directly with bone. At the same time, muscles are sending out their myokines. Remember, these are chemical messengers. Bones also send out chemical messengers called osteokines. These signal muscles to grow. Not only do muscles influence bone growth, but bones influence muscle growth. The way you move literally shapes you, your physical structure. The shape and strength of your bones, the size and strength of your muscles, these are significantly determined by the movement you've done. Do you know movement also shapes your brain? Do you remember learning to ride a bike? Like, really, learn to ride a bike. Do you remember that? It's actually hard to think about this because you may remember the feelings or the ideas, but it's pretty difficult to learn to remember the actual physical struggle of learning to ride a bike. At first, trying to ride a bike was impossible. And then it became doable. Then it became easy. And now it's difficult to remember how difficult it was. What happened? Your brain literally changed shape. Its shape and capacity. And it changed because of movement. Movement creates new neurons in your brain and increases your capacity for movement and learning. Children grow and move within their environment. Some are exposed to many different types of movement, climbing trees, running, jumping, playing ball, falling down, scraping their knees, riding bikes, a whole bunch of stuff. Other children, however, grow up and for a variety of reasons are unable or don't play outside. So they sit and watch TV or something for hours on end. Do you think that these children would develop differently? If so, how would they be different? Would they see a tree differently? Would they feel pain differently? Would their bones be different? Muscles? I find it profound that placing force on the skeletal system, so stressing the skeletal system, through movement when a person is young, causes bone to preferentially grow in width and thickness, which further enhances bone strength. This is, of course, in opposition to building bone on the inside. Preferentially growing in width and thickness. You see, the more active children would likely have much stronger bone because of its shape. Wider bone is better. It's stronger. So exposing bones to stress, such as the impact from landing, the powerful muscular contractions from jumping and running, produce a strong skeleton, which is ready for even more stress. Activities for children are wonderful, and adults really should continue to do a lot of them, but a child's musculoskeletal muscle and bone system is not designed for adult tasks. The child's bone and the muscle must mature to become ready for the different and much more demanding tasks of an adult. Carpenters, plumbers, mechanics, construction workers, any other manual labor, these require significant strength and resilience. These are not jobs for children. These are jobs for strong adults. Have you seen someone with big muscles? How do you think they got that way? Well, probably lifting heavy things a lot, regularly, for a long time. The growth in size of muscles is called muscular hypertrophy. The loss of muscle mass is called atrophy. Muscular hypertrophy allows the individual to do a lot of work, to lift very heavy things. Whenever someone has a difficult task requiring strength, such as when someone's moving and they need to carry heavy furniture or appliances, they automatically think to invite the people with big muscles. These big muscles can lift heavy things. They're also placing immense force on their bones as well. The strong person's bones have built themselves up to be able to handle these forces, which would just snap a weaker bone. Getting big muscles doesn't happen overnight. It takes daily effort over many years. Muscular hypertrophy, what does that mean again? Increasing size. Muscular hypertrophy does not happen in children, no matter what the child is doing to improve their strength. Children can and do improve their strength, but their body will not allow muscles to hypertrophy. It seems that there's a certain level of hormones, such as testosterone and estrogen, that have to be available prior to experiencing muscle hypertrophy. These hormones reach high enough concentrations to alter muscle size after puberty, when boys and girls are becoming young men and women. And I've come to believe that children's inability to experience hypertrophy is a protective mechanism. Big muscles produce a lot of force, and what needs to be in place for forces to be effective? Strong bones. The growing child's bones are still developing, still growing. They're not ready to handle the task of an adult yet. Yes, as a child increases in strength, they should be able to do tasks, and they should be able to do tasks that increase their strength. But they cannot increase muscular size beyond what is natural for growth. They cannot do that until their bones are ready to handle that amount of stress. Bones' capacity to handle significant loads coincide with the hormonal changes that occur during and after puberty, at which point muscles have the capacity to hypertrophy. This is profound to me. Movement matters. Movement is necessary for the health of our entire body, not just our bones and muscles, but our hearts, blood vessels, kidneys, pancreas, brain, every organ, every system benefits from movement. But it's more than that. Movement is essential for life. The more we move, the greater capacity for movement we have. So who are you shaping up to be? That has a lot to do with the movement you're doing and will do, or lack thereof, because not moving causes a loss in muscle. It's called called atrophy. And a loss in muscle causes a loss in bone after the age of about 17 young women and 19 young men or so. Loss of bone and muscle is not as really evident in children and adolescents since they're still growing. It's more a loss of potential when children are sedentary. But the loss of muscle becomes more clear when someone enters their 20s and more as a person ages. Many things happen to your body when you do not move, but specifically, being sedentary or not moving increases the production of a specific myokine. Remember what myokine is? It's a muscle chemical messenger. This specific myokine called myostatin. It sounds strange, but not moving causes a secretion of a muscle chemical messenger called myostatin. Myostatin does a number of things, but among them are decreasing muscle size and decreasing bone density or bone strength. If you have less muscle and bone, you cannot move as much, which further causes a loss of muscle and bone. This loss of bone often leads to a disease called osteoporosis. Have you heard of osteoporosis? Osteo, remember that means bone. This is a disease of brittle bones. Bones can be so brittle that some individuals with severe osteoporosis can break a bone when they sneeze. And if they were to fall down, it might kill them. At least it would lead to an earlier death. It's almost certain. Most people think that osteoporosis is an old person's disease. However, a significant contributing factor to osteoporosis is how strong a person's bones are when they're in their mid-20s, approximately 24 years old. The daily activity of a person entering their 20s, the habits that they form, the movement they choose to do, has a powerful impact on the rest of their life. However, do you remember how bones are constantly changing? A person can have very strong bones in their 20s, but if they get a job sitting at a desk and decide not to move much, it will not take long to lose bone and muscle strength. Research reveals strong evidence that we cannot separate muscle health from bone health. That osteoporosis is not just an old person's disease, as if age is the only factor. It's a disease that results primarily from not using muscles, from not moving. Bone and muscles are inextricably linked. So tight is the connection between bone and muscle. Scientists are now making a push to change the disease name from osteoporosis to sarcoosteoporosis. Sarco effectively means muscle. It is a disease of both bone and muscle. Regular movement, daily effort is required to mold your bones and muscles at the cellular, really it's deeper than that, at the molecular scale. All you have is this day. It's the accumulation of your daily choices which build bone and muscle. So here's a prime example. This image is an MRI, a cross-section of an MRI. You're looking at the legs, leg muscles, and the leg of a 40-year-old triathlete. You have, that dark region in the center is bone. The white region is the medullary cavity. The darkish, grayish region is muscle. The white region around that is the adipose tissue, the fat tissue that's just below the skin. So we don't have a whole lot of reference here, but this person is quite fit. They have exercised vigorously 4 to 5 times a week for years. The general consensus is that as we age, we become weaker and more frail, and that's a natural process of aging. I agree with this. However, more and more research is showing that we accelerate the aging process by not moving. What if we continued, or even started, to exercise vigorously 4 to 5 times a week, every week, for years? What would happen? Well, here's an image of someone who's done just that. This person is 70 years old, a 70-year-old triathlete, and it looks almost identical to that 40-year-old triathlete. Very strong muscles, very little fat. Now, compare this to someone who's chosen not to move. This image is of a 74-year-old individual who's been sedentary for a long time. This difference is profound. You can tell, you're not an expert, but you can tell the difference. Significant amount of adipose tissue, and the muscles look shredded. They don't even look like they're very functional. The difference is profound. Movement matters. But it's not just movement that we need. It's movement within a specific context. We must We must be grounded, literally. You may already know this, but astronauts who experience microgravity, or some people say weightlessness, rapidly lose a large amount of muscle and bone strength and mass. Muscle, bone strength, and mass in space. This is actually a pretty significant problem because most of them are not able to regain this lost bone and muscle. For decades now, it's been required for astronauts to exercise regularly in space. They exercise 2.5 hours a day, pretty much every day, 6 or 7 days a week. And it's not enough. Astronauts still lose a significant amount of bone and muscle. They're not grounded. There's no true up or down. Every direction could be up or down, depending on your perspective. So without the constant force of gravity, bone and muscle are not being stimulated to build. So they adapt to the environment of microgravity and they waste away. Exercise is good, but it is not enough. Bone and muscle health is a way of life. It requires more than just going somewhere a few times a week. So we have this orientation, the orientation force of gravity. There's that. And then there's light. The body actually needs sunlight. Do you know why? Vitamin D. And let's be honest, that makes no sense. Light from the sun hitting your skin causes your body to produce a vitamin. That is very difficult to conceptualize. Vitamin D is, but that's what's happening, but vitamin D is unbelievably important. It's actually a steroid hormone, and it influences every system in your body, affecting psychology, immune system, metabolism, genetic control, kidney function, cancer risk, cardiovascular health, lung function, and guess what? Bone and muscle function. As we said before, bone is made up of calcium, among other things, and calcium is brought into the bone almost exclusively because of vitamin D. The strength of bone is related to our exposure to sunlight. Vitamin D deficiency is connected with muscle weakness and poor function, and it's demonstrated by worse scores on endurance tests, strength tests, balance tests. But with the exposure to sufficient sunlight and to produce sufficient vitamin D, all of these performances improved. But that's not all. Do you remember the osteokines and myokines? Do you remember myostatin? Myostatin caused that muscle atrophy and decrease in bone density. Vitamin D inhibits myostatin secretion. It results in bigger and stronger muscles and bones. Vitamin D also increases the secretion of growth hormone, which further enhances bone and muscle growth. Vitamin D also increases osteokines, which improve muscle health. Sun exposure has profound effects on bones and muscle. We physically need sunlight to survive and thrive. So, how are faith and works related? I think that they're inextricably connected. Just as bone and muscle are inextricably connected, your actions are the best indicator of what you actually believe. What do you do throughout the day? You can say you love God, but do you honor your parents? Do you roll your eyes at them? Do you clean your room without being told? Do you have faith that God will provide for you? Individuals who have just accepted Christ into their lives are spiritual infants. Through the waters of baptism, they've been born again. And as real infants must first learn to sit up before they can walk or run, spiritual infants must develop appropriately as well. Did you notice how muscles contribute to bone development in the womb? Muscular action directs bone development. And I think that's accurate for spiritual development as well. Actions, or works, develop one's faith. When you're growing up, what comes first? Faith or works? Obedience. Works do. Obedience. You must first learn to obey those who raise you before you can have your own faith. So just as muscular contraction directs the development of your bones, what you do matters. It's an indication of what you believe, but it's also shaping you in what you believe. Did you notice the difference between the two examples of children? The active children versus the sedentary child. Sedentary children. I think there's a connection for developing your faith and spiritual maturity. Those who regularly practice acts of service or good deeds provide an opportunity to have more robust and mature faith, but it also directs the development of their faith. Stopping to help somebody indicates that you believe that person is in need and has worth, and you should help them. Doing it once increases your capacity to do it again, which further increases your capacity to see the value in others and your ability to help those in need. It's as if the effort you're exerting in your physical movement is simultaneously making your bones stronger and developing your brain and faith. Befriending someone can be intimidating. Introducing yourself and starting a conversation is difficult. It requires courage. But if you practice it, you become better at it. Your actions shape you. You begin to see more clearly that they also bear the image of the Almighty God, like you. Talking about Jesus. This is difficult at first. Satan does not want you to talk about Jesus, so it will be difficult. But regularly talking about him makes it easier, makes it more natural. I would strongly recommend regularly talking about Jesus with your friends. Over time, it becomes more natural to talk about him with others. Ask your friend why they believe in Jesus. How has their belief affected their life? And be prepared to answer those questions. The action of sharing your faith will further develop your faith, increase your capacity to share your faith. Just developing bone requires force and pressure. Developing your faith requires difficulty, tension. What are good deeds or works for someone who's a spiritual infant? What should they be doing? Think of something simple that can help someone new in their faith develop. What about reading the Bible? Praying regularly, or being around more mature Christians. A large part of physical development is watching and copying what others do. So this is true for spiritual development as well. What do you think would help individuals develop? What should you do? Simple movements help spiritual infants develop their faith. Movement matters. But we shouldn't only do simple movements. We need to develop. I have three children, 7.1, 5.3, and 1.5 years old. And I've heard others say to me, "Don't you wish they'd stay this way forever?" No. Why would you wish that on me? Can you imagine me as an 85-year-old with the same age children? Everybody knows that's wrong. We expect development. Well, what about spiritual development? Larger, more robust movements as an expression of a larger, more robust faith. Do you remember when I said that children's muscles do not hypertrophy? I think something can be said for faith development as well. Luke Dockery once told me with regards to raising children, "Who before do," which I took to mean, know who you are before you go and do adult-level tasks. Establish a firm identity in Christ and a solid faith before you enter the mission field. Remember, all the world is a mission field. This is not to say you should be doing nothing, just the opposite. You need to be actively working to deepen your faith and trust in the Lord. Just as bones need to develop towards adulthood before we experience hypertrophy, faith needs to develop before we try to change the world around us. Here are some examples of what we can be doing throughout development. Spiritual children would learn to share what they have. Spiritual adolescents would choose to give something up that they know is not of God, a TV show, music, movies. Spiritual adults would practice the reality that everything that they have has been given to them. They would embody the teachings of Jesus, making disciples, giving to the needy, not worrying, loving enemies, serving. We move from one stage to the other through constant, intentional effort, daily effort. More than that, moment-by-moment effort, fighting selfishness in your brain, striving to serve others. Do you remember us talking about osteoporosis and the astronauts? What happened when the muscles were not active? Both bone and muscle waste away. I think this is true for faith and works as well. When we are not active in our faith weakens and we lose capacity to do work. It is not the big things that necessarily make your faith stronger. Remember the astronauts exercising? It's not enough. It's not just going to church, which is very important. It's the moment-by-moment orientation to what is true. The constant effort to remain upright against the forces of evil, the tiny thoughts, the tiny actions, tiny words, those works in the context of true north are what ground you to produce a lasting faith. Okay, need to wade through some muddy waters, but if we hang in there, I think we can do it. Can someone say they do not believe in God and do good works? Of course. But the good deeds they are doing is consistent with an absolute good. And God is the one who defines good and bad. Someone who says that there's no God and then provides food to someone who's hungry is demonstrating their belief that people should be good to each other. If there is no God, and therefore no ultimate definition of good, then feeding someone who's hungry is not a good deed. It's just an action that leaves the person with less resources. Thus, doing good deeds is a result of believing that good exists. And good cannot exist without an ultimate definition of good. God is that provider of that definition. Can someone who claims to believe in God do bad things? Of course. In fact, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need Jesus. But if you don't feel like doing good works, I think this is the work of the evil one. The evil one does not want us doing good or growing in the Lord. And I think we should expect to not feel like doing good works, especially when we're growing spiritually. Doing good works when you do not feel like it is an indication of spiritual maturation, like riding a bike. Initially, the task seems overwhelming, but if you do it, your brain changes, your muscles change, your bone changes, and you get slightly better. Then you do it again and again, renewing your mind and body toward love and good works. Over time, it becomes difficult to imagine yourself having difficulty with good works. Your movement of good works develops your bones of faith, and your bones of faith turn and provide scaffolding, structure, stability for your movement of good works. And lastly, we need light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light. And John 1:1-7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. We deeply desire light because we need light. We need Jesus. Faith and works are wasted without light from the sun. As we grow spiritually, we move toward more complete imitation of Christ, love and service and humility. Jesus said in John 13:34-35, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Movement matters. Go and develop your faith.